ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Prithu, text number 8. Yeah. Ya
yeah.
Yeah. Evam
Santam
Atmanam Atmastam Veda Purushaha Najyate Prakatisto Api Tadgunai Sa Mai Stittaha Ya evam santam atmanam Atmastam Veda Purushaha Najyate Prakritistopi Tadgunai Samayi Stittaha Ya evam santam atmanam Atmastam Veda Purushaha Najyate Prakritistopi Tadgunai Samayi Stittaha Ya evam santam atmanam Atmastam Veda Purushaha Najyate Prakritistopi Tadgunai Samayi Stittaha Ya evam santam atmanam Atmastam Veda Purushaha Najyate Prakritistopi Tadgunai Samayi Stittaha Evam santam atmanam Atmastam Veda Purushaha Najyate Prakritistopi Tadgunai Samayi Stittaha Yaiva Santam Atmanam Najyate Prakritistopi Tadgunai Samayi Stittaha Ya evam santam atmanam Atmastam Veda Purushaha Najyate Prakritistopi Tadgunai Samayi Stittaha Ya evam santam atmanam Atmastam Veda Purushaha Najyate Prakritistopi Tadgunai Samayi Stittaha
Yaha
anyone who evam, thus, santam,
existing,
atmanam,
the individual atma,
and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Paramatma, atmastam, situated within his body. Veda knows. Purushaha, person. Na, never. Ajyate, is affected. Prakriti, in material nature. Staha, situated. Api, although. Tadgunai, by the material modes of nature. Saha, such a person. Mayi, in me. Stitaha, situated. Translation, although within the material nature. We're not repeating, I'm just reading slowly. Although within the material nature, one who is thus situated in full knowledge of the Paramatma and Atma is never affected by the modes of material nature, for he is always situated in my transcendental loving service. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this material world, he's not affected by the modes of material nature. Similarly, those who are always connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though they be within the material body or the material world, are not affected by the material qualities. That is explained very nicely in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samiti chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who is unflinchingly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord surpasses the material qualities and attains Brahman realization. In this connection, Srila Rupa Goswami says that if a person is always engaged in the service of the Lord with his body, words, and mind, he is to be considered liberated although living in the material world. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschachade Satarani Om Gyanam Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militam Jainam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Purubhyascha Kripasindubhyebhaca Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So here, where are we situated? The word for being situated in this text shows up a number of times. Atmastam Prakritishto Mayistitaha. All these three words are all variations of the word meaning to be situated. Here, this is another case of the word atma. The atma, and here, Prabhupada translates this as both the individual soul and the paramatma. Even though, here's the soul and then atmastam, and here he says atma means situated in his body. And He does not become affected by the modes of material nature, tat gunai, najite. Prakritishta api, even though in the connection, even though situated within the material energy. Why is this? Samayi stitaha, because he's situated in me. So that part here applies to the living entity. For he is always situated in my transcendental loving service. This mayi stitaha. Prabhupada expands a little bit. What does it mean to be situated in Krishna consciousness, or situated in Krishna means that your position is that of devotional service. So he knows, well, the person has to know this, that he has this knowledge of the Paramatma and the Atma, even though he's situated in the body. He's not affected by the modes of material nature. Neither, so in this case, you see there's this similarity. Neither the Lord is affected by the modes, even if he descends in this world, acts in this world, even though he seems to be in the modes of material nature, he always controls them. So he's not affected. And similarly, those who are always connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mayistataha, even though they be within the material body of the material world, are not affected by the material qualities. And here Prabhupada quotes the second to last verse of the chapter 14. Chapter 14 in the Bhagavad Gita deals with this, the whole subject matter of the three modes of material nature. That's what it's about. So we understand the modes, so then we can know what it is to be transcendental to the modes. So the chapter, when it comes to a conclusion, this is this verse here. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. So one who is engaged in devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances. This is, one has to be on this level of avyarichara, of steadiness, or always is engaged, unfailing in all circumstances. Prabhupada translates this here. One is engaged in devotional service in this way. Sagunan samiti chaitan, he goes beyond, transcends the modes. We've heard about in this whole chapter about the modes of material nature. And Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, he attains the state or the position of Brahma. And that means liberated. He's liberated. It's interesting in this Bhagavad Gita text, by the way. Next text, last text in the 14th chapter, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Krishna says, I am the pratishta of Brahma. Pratishta means foundation, basis, support. So he attains Brahman, and then further than that, there is Krishna. So here's a very clear, this is just three words in Sanskrit, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Where Krishna says, Not that he's a product of material nature, but or somehow condenses out of Brahman. But he says he's the pratishta, foundation, the basis of the support of Brahman. So that's why that you practice devotional service, you come to the level of Brahman, and then you actually are qualified to go further and attain to direct darshan of Krishna. The Krishna doesn't disappear, but rather he's behind the Brahman effulgence. So I really wondered about this verse, because this is so clear, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, and I wondered how it is that the Mayavadis, you know, can what do they do about this verse? Because you really have to. So I looked up Shankaracharya's commentary on this verse, and I was astonished to see that what he says is that in this verse, Brahman refers to the total material energy. Not the Brahma-jyoti. Yeah? And you see, the reason for this is interesting, is clever, because at the beginning of this chapter, Krishna defines Brahma as in fact, the material energy. See, the word Brahma just means a basic meaning is great or all-pervading. Here in text number 3, Mama Yonir Mahad Brahma, the total material substance called Brahman. So that's where Shankaracharya gets. He goes back to the beginning of this chapter and says this is what it means. But that's obviously bogus, because you have to look at the verse right next to it. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, Brahma Nohi Pratishtaham. In the very next verse, in the very preceding verse, the word Brahman is definitely used to mean the state beyond the modes of material nature, the state of transcendence. So, anyway, this is how people distort things when it doesn't suit them. There's another verse that you may be reminded of. This says that you practice devotional service and you attain the level of Brahman, the position of Brahman. In the 18th chapter, text 54, Brahma Bhuya Prasanatma Nasotuti Nakanchasi Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who becomes situated in Brahma Bhuta, the platform of Brahman, then that's described Prasanatma, happy all the time. Doesn't lament Sochati Nakanchati, nor does he hanker for anything. That is, say, fully satisfied. Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu, another symptom, sees all living beings as the same. In that state, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, he attains my devotional service. Whereas the other verse says, by practicing steadfast devotional service, you attain Brahman. This verse says, after you attain Brahman, you attain my service. So the answer is that in this verse is devotional service in practice, sadhana bhakti, and mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. That refers to the practice of devotional service on the level of sadhana. When you achieve the perfection of devotional service, do you quit? No, now it's a devotional service in the stage of sadhya, as what Prabhupada calls perfectional stage. And then this is the real devotional service, that's spontaneous, it's based on Krishna prema, and so on. That's the perfectional stage. So this is how one comes to this. But even before then, one comes just simply by being undeviatedly situated in the activities of devotional service, one becomes to this platform of Brahman, even in this world, as Prabhupada points out. He quotes Rupa Goswami. This is a text originally that appears in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That's why he mentions Rupa Goswami. About the Jivan Mukta. The one who is Jivan Mukta means that although he is living in the material world, he's mukta. He's liberated. And so this Iha Yasha Harer Dashe. Iha, yes, so the activities of one who is a devotee of Krishna, Hare Ardashe, in the service of Krishna, Karmana Manasa Gira, this is a great, by his Karmana, his activities, Manasa, mind, and Gira, speech. This is the same triad. Sometimes it says body, but when you say Karmana, means the activities of the senses, which means the body. That's the same thing. And speech and mind, all of these things are engaged in Krishna's service. Nikilasu api avastasu, whatever situation you may be in, avastasu means whatever your circumstances, anywhere. If they're Nikilasu, if they're always going on like there's, if one's totally engaged in this way, apyavastusu, even whatever condition you're in, jivan mukta uchite, that person is known as jivan mukta. That is to say, liberated soul, even though still in a so-called material body or in this material life, is this this jivan. Jivan Muktaha. So here, these three things are there. This full engagement in devotional service with all the activities of the senses, with speech and with mind. Then doesn't matter what the condition is. Is free from the control of material nature. See, the question is, where does the impulse for our actions, our speech, and our thought come from? As it turns out, our position is as subordinate entities that we are actually being dictated to. It is our nature that we are being dictated to. And that dictation can come to us from two sources. One is the dictation of the modes of material nature. We are controlled by material nature. Durga Devi, she's dictating to us. Now, it is not that sometimes think that I'm free, I'm acting on my own, I'm doing whatever I want. This is usually the battle cry of freedom in our day, freedom to enjoy my senses any way I like. But actually I'm being impelled. I'm being impelled. Because the sense gratification is addictive. And so these things drive us. And it's not that you're free. You can say, I want to be free to enjoy heroin or smoke cigarettes. That's the big one. Freedom is cigarette smoking is freedom, right? I remember when I was young, they started to decide that women weren't smoking enough cigarettes, and this was an untapped market. And they would And the cigarette company was one of the greatest ones around because addicts were your best customers. Now, originally Coca-Cola had cocaine in it for the same reason. So you would come back for more. So really all marketing aspires to the condition of addiction in its customers. They come back. One-time sale is no good, they have to be repeated. So the cigarette company was really into this, so the women were not smoking enough cigarettes, and they had these series of advertisements. A cigarette, I think it was called Virginia Slim, a cigarette made just for women. And they tied it to this notion of women's liberation with a slogan, "You've come a long way, baby. Now you've got your own cigarette." And in the commercial, they would show in black and white this woman, you know, bound up in this Victorian big, huge dress and corseted like crazy and everything. And she's off somewhere sneaking off to smoke a cigarette, because women weren't allowed to do this. She's sneaking off to smoke a cigarette, and her husband comes and catches her and snatches it away and stomps on it, you know. And then switch to, you know, the music changes, and it's the same woman now in some little skimpy mini skirt or something like that, and she's smoking a Virginia Slim. See, she's liberated. She's liberated to become an addict. Because being addicted to cigarettes is not at all liberated. You may think, now I can smoke, but that's not what happens. As soon as you run out of cigarettes, you're now under control. You have to take the next one. You have to take the next one. Then you're under control, and you have these humiliating experiences. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And suddenly you can't find another cigarette, and you start going through the ashtrays, looking through the big butts, and if you can't find any there, then you're going through the garbage, because it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and the nearest store is, you know, 15 miles away, and you know, have to go out if that's open at that time. You know, is this freedom? Is this liberation? So people, when they think of freedom as freedom to gratify my senses, it's the freedom to become more and more under the bondage. So what we should think of the whole material world, if we use it for sense gratification, is just one big cigarette. Because, why? Because if you keep on smoking it, as you keep on doing, it kills you. The Prabhupada said death is an illusion we've imposed upon ourselves just because of our desire to enjoy in this world. So it kills you. And like cigarettes, there's no real pleasure. I mean, cigarettes, you get addicted to them and you smoke them, but you don't even get high, you know. You just want another cigarette, that's all. And in fact, it's singularly unpleasant. Your breath stinks, you're coughing all the time, you're repulsive, you got these nicotine stains on your fingers, you know, your clothes smell bad. You can't walk, you can't breathe. And you go back for more and more. It's not, no pleasure. And it kills you, and you keep on going back for it again and again. This is the trick of Maya, the same old sense gratification. It's all a cigarette, and it's deadly. So we are controlled. We are controlled. We have turned away from Krishna, and we become under the control of Krishna in another way, indirectly and unfavorably, through the tender agency of Maya Devi. Durga. When we turn toward Krishna, we then become controlled voluntarily. And we are now under the control of the internal potency. We place ourselves under her control. When we surrender to Krishna, we are following Krishna's order. How do we receive Krishna's order? Well, we have a spiritual master, other advanced devotees who transmit it to us. We have Shastra. We receive the order, what Krishna wants. And as soon as we follow that order, then we are released from the order of the control of Durga, the prison keeper. And now we become under the control of the internal potency, Srimati Radharani, ultimately. And that's liberated. We do not have the freedom not to be controlled by Krishna. See, this is the big illusion. The illusion is, I can become God. Not to be controlled by Krishna means now I am autonomous, independent, and sovereign. No one is above me. When no one is above me, that means I'm God. That's what we're trying for. As soon as we try to become, we think that's our freedom, then we become under the bondage of the material nature. It's just like as a citizen of the state, you have to obey the laws of the state. As soon as you think you're free to be sovereign like the state, you want to do things that the government does. Like, the government has certain licenses to do things, right? But you want to do it for yourself. The government collects taxes. They just go to people and demand money, and the people give them. Okay, I'll do the same thing. Then you're a thief. I'll print money. I'll make my own money. Then you're counterfeit. So to be a criminal is, when you're an individual, you're going to do those things as though you're the government yourself. Huh? And of course, if you become a really successful criminal, you do become the government. When organized crime becomes successful, it's called government. But normally, what happens when you do these criminal acts? Do they allow you to go on like that, causing a huge disturbance? No, the government catches you, puts you in prison. Now, if you've ever known prison inmates, they're a singularly puffed up bunch, really proud and defiant. The hell with the government, but they're locked in cages, and they got a gun at their head all the time, and they're obeying the government by force. Now, what about the free citizens? We're called free. Our range of activities is great. Their range of activities is so restrictive. Now we have a huge range of activity. We're free. But why are we free? Because voluntarily we obey the laws. So the freedom not to obey the law is not there. So we are not free not to obey Krishna. As soon as we follow Krishna's order, we are now under the control of the spiritual energy. So I have to see, where does the impulse for my activities come? Do they come from my mind, from lust and greed and anger? Or do they come from the order, Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master? It's a simple choice, simple way to see. And when we're fully controlled by the spiritual master, by Krishna's internal potency, then Jivan Mukta, the modes of material nature, even though they may push now and then, they do not control activities, they do not control speech, they do not control thought. You keep them aside. Okay, I'll just stop now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.